And a lot of the pictures they will show you of the Holocaust came right out of your General Eisenhower's camp after the war. In Auschwitz and places like that, typhus got started. And there is no way to get rid of it except to burn the bodies. Incinerate the bodies. You can't just leave them laying around. And everybody was skinny. Yes, you damn right everybody was skinny. Because there wasn't any food. And I'm not here to argue the points of the Holocaust versus the lies. Nobody cared about the Christians that got massacred. But that's not the point here. The point is that if you end up in concentration camps, exactly the word concentration ensures a lot of you aren't going to make it. And they don't have to kill you. They only have to introduce something like this. They only had to introduce typhus. And they got their result, didn't they? And then they throw out their little balloons to see how much you'll take. And then a few more balloons to see how much you'll swallow. And when the numbers get so outrageous that some of you begin to question it, then they pull back a little. Until they either get rid of you rabble-rousers, and then they can start ahead again. It has never been different. The players have never been different. They don't have to be. You buy it every time. You buy the game plan every time. Well, what choice do you have? Maybe at the moment, very little. In wisdom is always, if it doesn't cross the laws of God, follow the law.
Commander, can I ask a question, please?
Yes.
Hold on a minute. The on-off switch is right here.
Right. Okay.
Wait for the speaker.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Greetings, Commander. This is Tom from Vancouver.
Oh, wow.
Up.
Is it on now?
No.
It's up.
You're goodbye.
Yeah.
Hello.
Turn the bottom switch.
I did just.
Yeah. The.
I'll just speak up.
You just sit at the table and ask a question. You'll hear it fine.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm just sitting at the table. Okay.
Wow.
I have a bit of a multi-parted question. I hope that you can make some sense of it for me as far as the answering of this question. It's regarding cancer. As a practicing hypnotherapist, I and other colleagues have worked successfully with people that have cancer. And I understand the power of the mind to heal oneself, although I certainly have a lot to learn yet. Until recently, I always thought cancer to be a result of a person's unbalanced thinking. In fact, I thought that cancer was almost a gift from the creator or soul to let a person know that they were out of balance in some way. But in Dr. Clark's book, she talks about the orthophosphotyrosine being present in all cases of cancer, although she doesn't seem to know where it comes from. I wondered if it is a chemical that the mind produces as a result of stress, and I wondered if isopropyl alcohol is produced by our cells as well, not by just ingesting it from products, as she seems to say. Her book insinuates that cancer is all physical, such as food and fillings and your plumbing, etc., etc. Next enter these parasites, which has me a little confused. Can these little buggers be wiped out by just mind-body connection techniques, or does it take physical products to get rid of them, such as the new Gaia products and parasite program, maybe in conjunction with mind-body imagery? Perhaps a Sai Baba can wipe out any dis-ease from his body by using mind power, but what of the rest of us? I highly value all your answers, and I'm getting confused as to what a person needs to do to keep the body in a healthy, balanced state. Since you're always coming up with all these new Gaia products that are available now, I start thinking that cancer is sometimes more physical than the result of imbalance. I understand that in our reality there's only one cancer. Could you also comment on what directs the cancer towards various areas of the body, though, as I only have speculations? And can a person have cancer without having parasites in the body? I'm sorry for asking so many questions into all that.
Well, let's see if we can sort it.
Help me out a bit.
Maybe we start at the end and work toward the front.
That would be great.
Absolutely, the mind can clean you out. But how many minds are capable of doing that? So that answers one of your speculations, that do you have to have something physical? No, you don't. On the other hand, there are some physical things that will counter a physical entity. And so why not use it? Because the problem that you will have is, no matter what you know, it's what does that person with the cancer know? And why would cancer, being only a mutated cell, go to various areas? Well, it's going to go to the area of the most abuse, or where it has an opening, where it can mutate better. If you have irritated living tissue in your lungs, for instance, by smoking, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have lung cancer or throat cancer or something, but if you're going to have mutation of cells that are going to settle somewhere, they're going to go to your weakest point. Or wherever your mind has decided is your weakest point. If you are a heavy drinker, you expect that at some point I should have cirrhosis of the liver. So you are already vulnerable to a cirrhosis of some kind, a hardening of this organ, a malfunction where your mind thinks you deserve it. Well, you cannot continue to put poisons in your body without some response. Now, if you have perfection of body and immune system, no matter what you do to your body, it's not going to hurt you. But if there, and there has been a deliberate assault against you for being healthy bodies, and for a while you can adjust. And sometimes your greatest enemy is the very one who is searching to find health products. We see that you have a lot of the wrong kind of cholesterol, whatever that means. If God needed you to have cholesterol, it's not quite like if God wanted me to fly, he'd give me wings. If he wanted you to fly with wings, he certainly would have. But it doesn't mean that man cannot fly within an airplane. So you can't blame God for not giving you wings with which to fly, if that is something that you are to develop. Now, you're dealing with society. You're dealing with a bunch of medical doctors, for instance, who don't have 10 days of diet training. And they're just as guilty. You see, there'll be an elite society who protects itself, but most won't. You will notice doctors who put you on a diet because you're overweight may weigh 500 pounds. But they know it's not good. But it's do as I say, dear. I know it's not good, so, you know, don't look at me. I'm not your image. You were talking about your health. And then there'll be the ones who say, well, if you eat a healthy diet, you don't need vitamins. Well, okay, you tell me who eats a healthy diet, especially the doctor, and I will show you someone who's a liar. The next thing you've got to deal with is the quality of your food. Yes, if you ate nothing but whole grains, you might be healthy. But if you eat stripped wheat, and it appears to be whole grain, you still aren't getting anything because of the way it's grown. If there are no nutritive value in the soil, it is not going to come into the plant. Although it can be made to multiply and it can fill the belly, you may go out feeling not starved, but you will have starved to death. And that's basically to make money. They don't care whether you're healthy or unhealthy. And when they found that they could give you supplements, then why do they need to bother with the food? Any of you with enough money can go down and buy some supplements. But you don't even know what they put in the supplements. So there are physical things, and it always, in the killing fields of germs, it's going to be the frequency. I don't care what it is. It is the frequency of the mold from which they make the penicillin. It is the frequency of whatever product you have that is going to determine whether or not another entity is knocked out. So you can smash some things and kill it, or you can come up with a frequency that it cannot tolerate and die. Or if you were able to control your mind, which everybody should be able to but can't, you're not going to get everyone into a level of trance. And if you're just going to transfer your opinion into their brain, it knows better. It's your opinion. So, yes, you can program a mind. But the funny thing is, it will not believe you if it doesn't want to. If it's alien to what it really believes, it will not accept it. It might, by rote, begin to act. And finally, if it hears it enough, and it's logical enough to that little entity in there, if you are pouring it in like a computer, eventually it will put it back out to you as you put it in. But everybody becomes so smug, I know what to do for you. When the you, on the other hand, knows fully well that you don't. So when you start trying to program another's mind, you're no better, really, than the other guy that programmed it in the first place. So basically, only you can reprogram your system. But you can offer tools through which the mind can function and reprogram itself. First, it says, well, maybe if I just had a little alcohol or if I had a little colloidal silver, I can do this. Then you are now dealing with a tool that the mind believes will work. And so the energy will be given necessary to accomplish the deed. Because it takes a long time for the mind to come into its understanding of its own capability. And that's what all of you have to deal with. You have to deal with the assaults on the human physical body and mind. And spiritually, you have to deal with the assaults against the soul. And very frequently, the soul is damaged every time it has to confront the fact that the body gives in to the impact of the physical plane. The soul then sees the failure and it brings its own frequency down, so you don't feel so bad.
Pardon me. Let me change the tape. May 16th, 95. Thank you, Commander.
Now, let us get specific. One of the worst things, one of the best and one of the worst, in about the same proportion, are Dr. Clark's books. We were already working on parasite control. And suddenly, Dr. Clark's book comes to our attention from Ron Jackson, of all people. And everybody goes gung-ho. I disagree with Dr. Clark on almost everything except the formula for getting rid of parasites, and I absolutely, totally disagree with the alcohol theory. Alcohol itself, the isopropyls, yes, they are produced. They are produced by the parasitic entity in certain environments. But it is impractical to say you cannot touch a mouthwash, anything in this. This is the cop-out. Don't you hear it? You're setting yourself up for failure, and she is setting herself up for her own self-protection. Well, you use mouthwash, so you cannot expect this to work. Come on. You have got to get control of yourselves. If it doesn't work in the presence of a little isopropyl alcohol, how in the hell do you expect to rid a population of parasites? It's all around you. The entity itself is producing it. And the minute you get really uptight about it, the more it's going to produce. It should simply be a measurement. But it's not. It becomes a big thing. I took this up with Wendell. You know, we have somebody who really needs some help, Wendell. Well, does he smoke? Does he drink? Does he, you know, and pretty soon, does he eat? Does he have sex? Does he have a wife? Does he have children? Get rid of all of them and you don't have a problem. Yeah, neither do you have life. What the hell difference does it make whether you're well or sick? You'll get something just to get out. And you cannot overcome for somebody else. And you cannot program a formula that is going to allow anybody. If you don't want to get well, I don't care what we pour in you, it won't get you well. On the alternative side, no matter what we pour into you, if you are going to get well, you are going to get well. And if you believe that will help you get well, fine. And that's exactly what is happening with a lot of these colloidal silver manufacturers. Let's just all get on the bandwagon. We'll put a little yellow food coloring in the water, and nobody will know the difference because it really is all in the mind. No, it's not all in the mind. But it's all in the energy. And a little bit, just a little bit in the metal, because you have to have the source of the energy. And you have to have it in a form that, taken within, it will merge with your cells and work. You can't just swallow a silver dollar and have it work, or a gold coin and have it work. On the other hand, if you were able to do that and you had the proper amount of acid in your stomach and you poured a little of this in there and a little of that in there and to peel off enough of this stuff to work, kids who swallow dimes back when a dime was silver might very well die of the coin in the stomach, but I want to tell you they were healthy. Healthiest kids on the block. Well, obviously, I'm not going to recommend that you do that. But each element has a color tone. Each element carries a frequency with it. Purple happens to be a very healing, transmuting color frequency. That's why Germain used it, because he was an alchemist. He knew he had the right energy if he had the right color flame. And you're going to know what you can expect to alchemize when your flame gets the right color. And if it's down here just making smut, you're going to have a lot of soot and smut, aren't you? And yet you have produced the substance of life. You've got carbon particles coming off there. But you don't know what to do with it. This is why no matter how much you learn, you will always have the more learned say, oh my God, I didn't know so much. And each tiny thing can be a lifetime of study and you still don't know all about it. So we're starting well into the end of the game trying to get people informed enough to bring them along so that they can begin to realize their potential enough to want to do something about it. Meanwhile, you've got to give them something that will keep them alive in spite of themselves. So we can go on this other premise. All right, now are you really just going to give us a little bit of purple shaded water and we're going to believe it works? If it works, it doesn't matter. But as a matter of fact, no, I would not be that foolish. And I resent ones who are. There are some things of energy form that cannot survive, and the negative energies will always produce the lower energy form. So you don't have to do a whole lot to get to an energy of a physical nature. Because, see, nothing in the universe is ever destroyed. It is only converted. Matter is never destroyed. It is only converted into energy. And every element goes through its boiling point, its gaseous point, its freezing point. And the higher it goes, the more potent its energy as it gives it off. As you move gold into its gaseous form, it is far higher in frequency. And finally, you get to the monoatomic gold, which is the source programming material, energy programming material of DNA for your own DNA structure. It is the DNA carrier of life. So you can know that it isn't just the mind, although within the body, the mind can do this alchemy. And you have forgotten. So yes, the mind can do everything. The problem with the mind doing it is that you have to bring it now outside into this table and say, what do we have to do with it physically to manifest what the body can do with it if it just has it available? And a lot will be, all right, we will take, let us say, the oxysol. That has reduced hydrogen, oxygen, and carbon. In the presence of gold and silver, it ionizes it into monoatomic elements, transforms, translates, transmutes, and quite frankly, through the purple flame or the purple energy into different substances through catalytic conversion that ordinarily takes place right inside your system. But now you've got to do it on the outside because the systems are so depleted that your systems cannot build quickly enough to overcome the assault against them. And yes, the mind is powerful enough to do it, but it needs something to pull from. If you are so physically depleted and you're trying to make it through in a physical form, it may not matter to your soul. But you've got to have some of these physical elements, and they're in the air, they're all around you. You can assimilate them if you can just get them into you. But it's why laying a silver dollar on your arm will not do the same as a fraction of that peeled off into a fine, fine particle and introduced within molecules into your body. It's already in a usable form that way. So the mind is everything. But what you don't seem to understand is that you must use your mind so that you can accept what is happening. You can program the mind, but you can't really fool the mind. You can lie to the subconscious until it will spout out anything you want. But a good hypnotherapist will tell you right now that this will lie to you. This mouth will lie to you. That means your subconscious is lying. Therefore, you have to sneak in something that is so automatic from the body. No, I know there's more to this story. Now, I want you to raise your finger, your forefinger of this hand, if there's more to this story than you're telling me. And this mouth will be saying, there's no more, there's no more, while his finger is, you know, coming right up here. Because you're not controlling it through your lie. So at every level, the subconscious mind does know, but it's clever enough to lie to you. It will try to protect your silliness. It doesn't want to be uncovered either. It's hard to let it all hang out there. And most therapists have proven that they are not capable of keeping a confidence. It's so exciting when you have a breakthrough. Let us share this with the world. That's fine in a teaching environment where you have an agreement up front. It is like working with Wes. It is none of your business what his problems may have been with his father, for instance. None of your business. If he ever chooses to tell you, that is one thing. But no therapist should ever require. That is part of the game plan here now. Oh, I see that is really uncomfortable. Let's hear it. Let's hear it. And yet there are some things that need to be made public. In working with John in here, he needed to say who he's pissed off at. And he finally did, didn't he? And he went beyond, you know. I said, well, just let's hear it. You're mad. You're mad as hell. You're not going to take it anymore. Let's hear it louder. And what did he say right off the bat? I'm mad as hell at Eleanor. That's honest expression. But what you are hiding down there is so private that that's why you have the problem. And to ask that someone tell that to the world, and you're sitting there saying, well, if you just share this, share this, you're going to go back. Every last cotton picking one of you are going to go back to some very uncomfortable times where you served Lucifer and you did a good job. And consequently, you are now making restitution, trying to do something about that. Not that it isn't even in your mind that you owe it. You owe it to self not to society, not to God. You owe it to self. And ones walking through the experience most often cannot see. If they could see and understand, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. You wouldn't have a problem in this world, but you wouldn't know you didn't have a problem. You would be walking around zombies in this environment. In the higher environments, you're not walking around like zombies. You've learned your lesson. And you are living in a higher society that doesn't solve its problems, doesn't have its action, doesn't have its fun, doesn't have its existence or knowledge of its existence on the basis of violence or shock or whatever makes you feel alive. So it's a responsibility. It is the greatest achievement when one is willing to take on, let us say, hypnotherapy with a proper responsibility. It isn't a matter of damaging someone. Someone who is non-functional, who comes to you and they are totally non-functional. Any way that you can bring them back into some functioning, if they are in pain, you get rid of the pain if you can. But you will never get rid of the problem until that being confronts the problem at the level it was established and planted there. And now you do have higher problems. You are in a society that has a capability of growing brain cells onto computer chips. That implanted into the brain, unless you have control of that chip, will end up controlling you. So it makes a hypnotherapist's job a lot harder. You don't know what the programming is in there. And you don't usually know that you are working with a programmed entity in time. So it requires a lot of responsibility. Now you can help everybody. We could just have some healing sessions in here. You know, I'm not talking about faith healing where you fall all over the floor, but a typical visualization of better health, better this, better that. That can only be a positive input, but it may or may not take either. And when you are accepting as gospel someone's experiments, you better be very careful. And once again, I use Dr. Clark, not because I want to pick on Dr. Clark, but if you cannot offer something that allows you to heal in the environment you're in, you've not helped the problem. Because people will find a way to keep their flukes. So you better take something that'll clean them out in spite of you. And I love it. Someone just sent something, the plague, anti-plague formulas. I mean, this is... I don't know how I'm going to say it so that this one, if she hears it, isn't going to think I'm picking. I'm not picking. She has literally found something that says diets, formulas, you know, for fighting the plague. And each one calls for garlic. Well, if you eat enough garlic, you will not get the plague. No one will get close enough to spread it. They won't sleep near you. They don't want to talk to you. And try hanging, in addition to eating a lot, hang some around your neck. Hang it over your door. You will not have the plague.
For life.
What are the other ingredients? They're like in, you know, four formulas. Garlic was the only one that ran through all of them. But guess what? Now, this is for fighting the plague disease. And listen to this carefully, because we've usually let everybody know what we're doing around enough that it gets scattered around. Walnuts, black walnuts, wormwood. You name the antiparasite formula and you've got it, see? Now, isn't it interesting that you can look at that now and you know what you're talking about? Others would go dive off the deep end trying to rid themselves of this plague invader when all they're doing is getting rid of the carrier parasite. So let's always use our heads. Everything is mind. You cannot even begin to qualify it. This is all perception. Some mind has done it. And you can't blame another mind, well, God did it, or the devil did it. You have to take responsibility because you are a functioning part of whatever did it. And you always have the right of choice in how you use it. And yet, mankind as a whole, it doesn't even matter as a whole, most of you in here, obviously, I struggle with this with Dorma all the time. That gives us some balance. But she doesn't have any closer entree to my ear or my voice than do you. And she will say, well, I got to go see Little Crow or something because I'm not getting anything. I am out of fuel. And others will look and say, well, good grief. You got him 24 hours a day till he oozes out of your pores. Yeah, well, he don't tell me anything. And I just ask and ask and ask and ask. Yeah, well, shut up and listen. I don't write all this for everybody else, sweetie. So you need each of you to come into the recognition of that power potential and then continue to try to achieve it. And then you who are in the healing arts, and this is especially for Tom, don't take blame. Don't take somebody else's blame or their failure as your failure. If I were a better therapist, they would be well. That is BS. You can be a bad therapist, and that's maybe your problem, but they don't even have to know you're a bad therapist. Don't accept failure as your failure. Accept responsibility and go learn enough to do it right. Offer that which you have to offer freely. And I didn't even say free. You can also measure most men's accomplishment by how much they're willing to pay. And if they're not willing to pay anything, they want it for free and they're not going to get anything out of it except you, a black eye. They will show you that you're not worth it. On the other hand, God's gifts must be free and freely given, freely shared. That does not mean that you give away everything of God's. I'm sick of that. I am sick of that. That is your enemy's propaganda. Give it all away and we'll break you. Well, I deserve some of this wonderful new colloid because I'm me. Well, maybe you do deserve it. then go get it. Go make yourself some. It's not patented. Go get it. I'm not even going to tell you the patent. I'm not even going to tell you what all's in it because I know you can't build it. Does that mean that a lot of it won't be given away? No, it doesn't mean anything. It just means that your need is not my responsibility. That's communism. And that's the way it gets started. And as a matter of fact, most people will not even let you give it to them when you're throwing it on them. That's responsibility. So you come to a bartering point. You come to some agreement over it. But therapists must stop this. You are in a society of such assault at such a low, degrading level. And everyone in this society is warped in some way. It is an intentional warping. There's no stability. There is no family stability. It has been destroyed. So the anger has built up in this little being and this older being, and then finally it has manifested itself in sickness or habits.
Let me turn that tape.
This is the end of the meeting. Thank you.